This is DW News live from Berlin. The tough battle to succeed Angela Merkel. Germany's conservatives struggle to choose their candidate for chancellor in this year's election. Two very different men are vying for the job. And after a week-long standoff, neither show any signs of backing down. Also coming up. Germany remembers the nearly 80,000 lives lost to COVID-19 in the country. Leading a commemorative service, the German president describes the pandemic as a dark time that has left deep wounds. And the United States warns Russia there will be consequences if jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny dies in prison. Navalny's doctors say that after almost 3 weeks on hunger strike, his life is hanging by a thread. I'm Nicole Fröhlich. Welcome to the show. The race to succeed Angela Merkel as Germany's chancellor is heating up, and no party seems to be struggling more to find a candidate to send into the competition than her own. A self-imposed deadline by the governing CDU-CSU alliance to announce a candidate expires tonight. The standoff is between Bavaria's Premier Markus Söder and the president of the Christian Democratic Union, Armin Laschet. He is supported by party leadership, but Söder, of the smaller sister party CSU, is a lot more popular among voters. Being the biggest party in the conservative coalition, it's traditionally the CDU who nominates the candidate to spearhead the joint campaign. Angela Merkel has not yet publicly endorsed either of them. Let's bring in Michaela Kufner, our chief political editor. Michaela, good to see you. The self-imposed deadline ends tonight, but no decision yet. What's going to happen next?
That's the big question. We need one of these two men to declare, or both together ideally, to say who the next chancellor candidate for the Conservatives is supposed to be. Ordinarily, one would think, OK, why don't they just have a vote? Well, traditionally, the candidate is chosen by the upper echelons of the party, which are backing Armin Laschet, the CDU party is. But now the smaller Bavarian sister party, the CSU, is adamant that Markus Söder, simply because he is so much stronger in those opinion polls, both when you ask the general public, but also CDU conservative followers, he's seen as the man who could deliver more votes at the ballot box, and that's his key argument. So we're hearing that individual groups in Germany's federal states of the CDU are gathering this evening in Berlin. They've already come out in favor of Markus Söder, and that is pointing towards what could be a potential showdown on Tuesday if the parliamentary group in the end gets to decide this very question. Something certainly Armin Laschet, the party leader who previously has been backed by Angela Merkel, wants to avoid.
This discussion has been going on for weeks now. What is taking so long?
Well, neither wants to back down, and critics are saying that it's already exposing a weakness of Armin Laschet that he didn't adamantly declare before that, yes, he wants to be the man on the ticket. He said the man who has the best chances of actually getting elected should be on that ticket, opening up space for Markus Söder there. So we're seeing inner party fighting and bickering, something that is bruising and damaging, not just for the candidates, but for the chances of Angela Merkel's CDU-CSU conservative coalition remaining the strongest party here in Germany. So what is becoming increasingly more thinkable is that the Greens, who are certainly benefiting from this, may in the end come out as the strongest party if this proves as damaging as some are predicting. The Greens themselves are declaring who their candidate is supposed to be tomorrow on Monday. So they might well overtake the Conservatives, both in speed, but also in terms of having a controlled process. So very dangerous for Angela Merkel's party there.
Michaela Kufner, thank you very much for those insights. It's been a day of remembrance here in Germany to pay tribute to the almost 80,000 people who have died of COVID-19 since the pandemic reached the country. A commemorative service was led by German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier in Berlin. He called it a chance to say goodbye in dignity to those lost to COVID-19, many of whom died alone and without their families in times of unprecedented isolation.
The first person in Germany to test positive for the coronavirus was in late January 2020. Since then, as in most of the rest of the world, life has been put on hold in Germany, and tens of thousands of families left to mourn lost loved ones. The National Requiem provided a moment for Germany to pause and reflect on those who had either died because of the virus or had passed away, separated from their families due to pandemic restrictions.
Today we're focusing not on numbers and statistics, but on the people that we've lost. For all of their differences and the different ways in which they lived, they're all missed by their families and friends, by their neighbors and their colleagues, by our society. None of them will come back, but they remain in our memories. We will not forget them.
Only a few people could attend the Requiem due to social distancing rules. They included Chancellor Angela Merkel, as well as relatives of people who had died during the pandemic. Most of the ceremony was given over to them and their poignant stories.
Eight days of worrying, of waiting, waiting for the doctor to call me every day, hoping for a miracle, praying that my worst fears would not come true. My worst fears came true. On the 14th of April, I was allowed to go to the ICU to my husband when it was clear that medicine could do nothing more for him.
Germany's President Frank-Walter Steinmeier spoke of hope during the ceremony. Germany was able to keep rates of infection down in the initial phase of the pandemic due to lockdown measures and social distancing. But numbers started to rise last autumn, and now the country is battling a third wave. Steinmeier said by remaining united and caring for each other, the pandemic will pass by. Words of encouragement for a nation, like so many others around the world, that is grieving for all those lost to the coronavirus.
Now get you up to speed on some of the other stories making headlines around the world. A wildfire on South Africa's Table Mountain has forced students from the University of Cape Town to evacuate. Helicopter crews dropped water bombs to try to quell the wildfire as winds rapidly spread flames across dry bush. Egyptian authorities say at least 11 people were killed and nearly 100 injured when a passenger train derailed north of Cairo. Four carriages ran off the railway in the city of Benha. The train was traveling to the Nile Delta city of Mansoura from the Egyptian capital. More than 100 protesters have gathered in front of the Russian embassy in Prague to express their anger over the Kremlin's alleged involvement in an explosion at an ammunition depot in 2014 that killed two people. The Czech Republic is expelling 18 Russian diplomats after officials said they found clear evidence Moscow operatives were involved. Doctors for jailed Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny said he could, quote, die any moment based on medical tests received from Navalny's representatives. The 44-year-old has been on hunger strike for 3 weeks and says he doesn't have access to independent medical care. DW reporter Federica Baggio has been following the story. Federica, welcome. What has Navalny's medical team so worried?
Well, Nicole, Navalny's personal doctor, Anastasia Vasilieva, and his cardiologist, they said they've been examining Navalny's latest blood test results, which they achieved through Navalny's lawyers, who can actually visit him in prison. And they say they found in his blood levels of potassium, which are beyond the threshold that requires immediate treatment. They say he's at risk of a cardiac attack or a kidney failure, and that pretty much at any moment. So they are extremely worried, and they are demanding the possibility to see him.
Why did Navalny go into hunger strike in the first place?
Yeah, well, so he went into hunger strike about 3 weeks ago, precisely for the same reason, because the prison was denying him the right to see his own doctors. Now, he's been jailed since February, and since then his health condition has been deteriorating. He's been complaining about high temperatures, about very bad back pain and leg numbness. Also, we shall not forget that it's been only months since he has almost died of poisoning with the Novichok nerve agent. So, of course, his body is still reeling from that. Now, he has refused to see the prison doctor, given the fact that Navalny accuses directly the Kremlin of being behind his poisoning, so that we would understand why he's insisting to get independent medical care.
What kind of reactions have we been seeing to these latest developments?
So there have been, as you might remember, nationwide protests back in January in support of Navalny's freedom, and now his supporters are hoping to be able to repeat that. So they've launched an appeal to the Russian people to come out to the streets on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we'll have to see if people will do that. Of course, there are fears of a violent crackdown by Russian police, as it was back in January when thousands of people were arrested, so that could be a deterrent. Then we're also seeing pressure from the international community, from the European Union, the US. They have been demanding Navalny's release all the way, and now they're saying there will be consequences if he were to die in prison. On the Kremlin side, for now, we're seeing few signs that they're willing to give in to any of these demands.
DW reporter Federica Baggio, thank you very much. Let's turn to the Bundesliga now. Dortmund have reignited hopes of a top four finish with a win over Werder Bremen. It puts them within 4 points of a Champions League qualification spot.
Following their Champions League exit in midweek, Dortmund strode out in a special retro shirt, hoping to draw inspiration from their mid-90s glory days. But Bremen's Milot Rashica brought them back to reality less than a quarter of an hour in. A stunning pass from Maximilian Eggestein set the winger up for only his second of the season. After nearly leaving in the summer, Rashica has endured an injury-blighted campaign, but is finding his form in the run-in. He's now scored on back-to-back match days. However, Borussia Dortmund rallied just before the half-hour mark. Gio Reyna smashed in a belter to level the scores, and that jolted his teammates into action. Captain Marco Reus cleverly won a penalty just 4 minutes later. And Erling Haaland was on hand to score from the spot to make it 2-1. The tides had turned. Then Haaland had a healthy portion of luck, tapping in at the back post for his 21st goal in 23 appearances. The hosts had hit 3 in 9 minutes to take a comfortable lead into half-time after that early scare. After the break, the two sides traded chances before Dortmund finally added a fourth goal 3 minutes from time. Mats Hummels with a towering header, which, try as they might, Bremen couldn't clear off the line. They fall to their fifth consecutive loss, meaning they're still not quite safe from relegation, while Dortmund can continue to dream of qualifying for next season's Champions League.
Let's have a look now at all the results this weekend. Dortmund beat Bremen, as we've seen. On Saturday, Leverkusen hammered Cologne. Bayern won against Wolfsburg. Gladbach thrashed Frankfurt. Freiburg routed Schalke. Union Berlin beat Stuttgart. Augsburg drew with Bielefeld, and it was also scoreless between Leipzig and Hoffenheim on Friday. Sunday's late match between Mainz and Hertha had to be postponed due to several COVID cases in the Berlin squad. You're watching DW News. Up next, married pastors who lead a church congregation and run a popular YouTube channel. And reporter Pablo Foley will take you through more headlines at the top of the hour. Don't forget, you can always get the latest on our website. That is dw.com, or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You'll find us at DW News. I'm Nicole Froehlich. From me and the entire team, thank you so much for watching.